The following program contains language and situations which may be offensive to some people. Everything, however, was taken directly off the air.
It's go time.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon.
Now or never. Here it comes.
Number 5.
Yeah, I've never been in the position to drop like a small fortune on some of these, you know, Ferraris, Porsches, these cars that, you know, seemingly are the price of a small house.
But exactly.
If you're driving one of those, wouldn't you want to kind of let her go and just to see how much oomph it actually has?
There's no point having a fast car if you can't take it out on the highway and then, you know, let it go for a run, is there?
Now, here's the thing. Think about this for a second. If you go buy a Ferrari, it should be some kind of rule that you've got to take it to a track and be trained by a professional driver before you get the wheel behind the wheel of something that can go 200-plus miles per hour.
Right, because you're not accustomed to having something that powerful, being behind the wheel of something so powerful.
Exactly.
My first car was a Datsun. I don't think you had this model here. It was a Datsun 180B Triple S. Now, the Triple S was important because that meant it had twin carbies.
Ooh.
And it could go like the clappers. I'm not even joking, but I
How
never
fast
did.
Fast is a clapper.
Oh, it's fast, Cliff. Trust me on that. A clapper is, and so it had two of them. So it really went like the clappers.
Wow, it must have been fast. Yeah.
Actually, that saying "go like the clappers," I never really know if it's "go like the clappers" or "go like the clackers." I always say clappers, but apparently it's not an American saying, so I can say whatever I like.
I've never heard that before.
Go like the clappers.
I like the sound of it, though.
Go like. Anyway, so this guy in England bought a limited edition Ferrari 430. He paid nearly $300,000 for it.
Wow.
The reason they were so expensive, only 500 of them ever made. So you'd think you would treat that thing. You know, you want to take it out on the highway. I'd be taking it out at midnight or something. No, you don't want any other people on the car on the highway.
Yeah.
Take it out there, take it for a spin. Anyway, he took it out to the freeway to see whether it could really go 0 to 60 in 3.6 seconds and top out at 198 miles an hour. But apparently, a little bit inexperienced, because at some point he must have hit something which made the car catch on fire and fly through the air. That must have been quite a sight for anybody nearby. Luckily, he was actually okay, but the car, new Ferrari, completely destroyed after he bought it.
$300,000 out
just
the window.
Just like that. Even the Geico lizard is going, damn.
Listen to this with Cliff and Sharon.
Now listen very closely, because here's how it's going to go down.
Number 4.
So my wife was away last week, and I picked her up, and we went immediately to dinner at some friends of ours on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't seen these people for a while because she was going through a procedure and having some augmentation done.
Oh, she's having her boobs done.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Boob job. How did they look?
Well, here's the thing with that. All night, we talked about her breasts. So she took my wife into the bathroom to show her.
And have a feel?
I don't know if there was any contact.
Of course there would have been. There would have been contact.
Maybe, probably. Feel these.
You're just jealous.
She didn't ask me. 3 hours of pre-op, conversation about the pre-op meeting. The drama with her family because they didn't want her to get the breast implants. The day of the surgery, after the surgery, now 6 weeks after the surgery. I never thought I'd say this, but at the end of the night, I was sick of breasts.
I never thought I'd hear you say that either, frankly.
It was 3 hours of conversations about breasts. It's like when you first have kids, you know, it's all you can talk about, and you end up talking about poo with other parents when you have babies.
Yeah,
that's all you talk about.
Comparing color and all of that.
And I guess when you have augmentation or breast surgery or you know, and they're right there, was definitely a much bigger area.
Let me ask you this. Did all of that breast talk around the dinner table, did that act as a sort of, because you and Lisa had been apart for a week, did that sort of act as an entree into a really lovely reunion romantic time? Did it act as a sort of foreplay? No.
Yeah. And I was certainly thinking that as, you know, the conversation continued. And by the time we got home, she was so exhausted. I was so tired. We literally fell asleep.
Oh.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon. All these stories are true. Even the names haven't been changed.
Number 3.
It's amazing what people will start to argue about on social media. There's a huge controversy right now in Britain because I guess the there's stores in the UK pulling off hummus products from the shelf. I'm pronouncing it that way because of the way they spell it. In Britain, they spell hummus, H-O-U-M-O-U-S. So this has ignited a controversy about how the word is supposed to be spelled.
Hummus. Well, in Australia, we pronounce it hummus.
How do you spell it, though?
Maybe H-U-H-O-U, I think.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't even know what that word is. Here it's H-U-M-M-U-S, right?
Right, and it's pronounced hummus. America has simplified the language. You know, you think of British English has the O-U-R, like in colour. Right.
That's true. It's very proper.
And so I think Americans are pretty sensible. They've streamlined all that. But, you know, I mean, you've got tomato, all of those sorts of things.
Do you say pop or soda?
I say soft drink.
You're not even on the list.
What about when it comes to the shoes you wear when you exercise? Because this is the thing that's blowing up social media right now. What do you call them? Running shoes.
They're running shoes to me, yeah. Where's my running shoes? Yeah.
Well, what about sneakers? You don't ever call them sneakers?
I've never called them sneakers. I've heard the term before.
What about... I call them runners or sneakers. People call them tennis shoes, though. Yeah. And other people say things like gym shoes or just plain shoes. They're not just plain shoes. They're athletic workout. Even if you're not working out, you look like you could be about to work out.
They're running shoes.
They're running shoes. So do you only ever call them running shoes?
Running shoes is my term for my... Where's my running shoes?
Sneakers. Your dress shoes. That's such an old school...
You see, you and I are having an argument about this, and this is exactly what's happening on social media right now.
Apparently, though, lots of people had no idea there was even any other term than the one they used. So the reactions on social media are like, no, you do not. No, I think if you're not calling it soft drink and sneakers, you're all wrong.
Listen
to this.
With Cliff and Sharon.
Number two.
Okay, if you don't exercise, this is great news. Yeah, I think the thinking about exercise is what I do more than the actual exercise. And science is proving that keeps you in pretty good shape.
That's good. This is fantastic. We love these studies, honestly. This is out of Stanford University, a respected university, Cliff. It's not some online busted ass job of a uni.
No, it's not from The Blaze or any of those online... It's Stanford University.
It's Stanford. They say people who think about exercise and consider themselves healthy live longer than people who just think they're out of shape.
I love it. And hold on, just give me just a second. Hold on, I'm going to think for a second.
Right.
Okay, you had that.
Are you exhausted? You've broken
Ask
out
me what
the
I just
sweat.
Did.
What
Ask-
did you just do?
I just beat Usain Bolt in the Olympics.
No.
I did.
Give me
9.7 seconds.
Oh, my God. Give me a minute. I'm going to do something.
All right. Straining. I can see the straining on the face. Yep.
Oh.
Wow. What did you just do?
I just out-bench-pressed The Rock. That's what I did. Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
This is my kind of exercise.
I out-bench-press him, and damn, nice. I feel good. Oh, I'm loving it.
Listen
to this. With Cliff and Sharon, making you sound more interesting at the dinner table.
Number one.
Okay, let's have a little guilty pleasure right here. There are a few things in life that are as satisfying as nailing someone with the perfect insult or comeback.
Right? And too often it's easy just to use a swear word or something because I guess maybe we're lazy and it's just what you can think of in the moment or something. But there's just a discussion on Reddit right now where people are sharing their best insult and their only insults that don't include profanity. Here's some of our favourites.
Now, these are clever. I've got to write some of these down.
Oh, my God. I don't know why you're playing hard to get when you're so hard to want. Right? Imagine saying that to someone.
Oh, my God. Oh. I like this one. You're the human equivalent of a participation award.
Imagine saying this to a girl. Your grades say, marry rich, but your face says, study harder.
Oh, see, that's just mean.
That's brutal, isn't it?
See, again, I think this is clever. You're impossible to underestimate.
Oh!
Right?
I love that. I love that. What about this one? Whoever told you to be yourself could not have given you worse advice.
Oh.
Oh. That's why everyone talks about you behind your back. Imagine saying that to somebody.
No,
oh, my God.
No. There's a few in here I could see myself
using. Read the last one. This one's gorgeous.
You aren't being the person Mr. Rogers wanted you to be.
See, that's lovely.
I think that's good, too.
But you have to, I mean, if you said it to a millennial, they don't know who Mr. Rogers is. Probably.
Exactly.
Probably.
Do you have one? Do you have an insult?
I have something that I call people. If someone's not listening, you call someone a cloth-eared bint. Right, it comes off, I think, Fawlty Towers, the TV show Fawlty Towers. And then here's a really good one if you're giving a reference for somebody that you don't want, like a work reference, but you don't want to really give them a reference. Hey, if you can get Cliff to work for you, you're really lucky. Because it's a double entendre, isn't it?
I like that. You know, I've never used these two, but I always remember them. You're always kind of looking for the opportunity, right?
Right.
Is your butt jealous of the amount of crap that just came out of your mouth?
Right? That's good. What's your other one?
Two wrongs don't make a right. Take your parents as an example.
Ooh, boom.
Ouch.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon. Subscribe to the podcast on Audioboom, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Pocket Cast, and iTunes. This has been a Bytes.com production.